Welcome along to another episode of Nobby on Cars with myself, Mark Noble. Thanks for joining us again this week. And since we last spoke, we have gotten our act together in terms of podcasting platforms. So you can now get us on iTunes, you can get us on Stitcher, you can find us on TuneIn, and there is another big one as well, Podbean, which is where we are. And just hit subscribe, and you know, you'll get the automatic updates for the podcast every week or every time we do it. So much appreciated if you leave us a review or give us a rating on any of those sites. Thanks for doing so if you have done already. And before we go on, thank you so much for everyone who's reached out on social media, Twitter and Instagram, asking questions about models of cars that they should go for, and just questions in general and feedback about the podcast. So thank you. It makes it feel like there's somebody listening, which is always good. So here's just one of the questions that I received over the last sort of 4 or 5 days in terms of questions from people. This is from MZ, and she wanted to know, with a budget of about €25,000, should she go for a Toyota RAV4, a Nissan Qashqai, a Hyundai Tucson, or a Honda CR-V? Now, another kind of criteria that she wanted was that it was at least no more than a year old. Now, for €25,000, that kind of rules out the Honda CR-V, and to be honest with you, it just about rules out the RAV4. Qashqai, no problem. You could get pretty much a brand new Qashqai for in around $25,000. Similar with the Hyundai Tucson, one of the best-selling crossover cars of the last few years in Ireland, done really, really well for Hyundai. They kind of exploded onto the roads around Ireland from the start of 2016. So they're with us sort of 2.5 years now. Fine car, obviously selling a bucket loads. Me personally, I'd probably go for a Qashqai over a Tucson. I just think they're perhaps a little bit more refined on the inside, particularly. And you only have to go as far as a Qashqai SV, which is like one model above the base model, to get things like a glass sunroof. And like, it's a full glass sunroof. It doesn't open, but it certainly lets in bursts of light. And it just kind of an adds sort of a premium feel to the inside of the Qashqai. Obviously, they don't come more premium than the Honda CR-V, but you're kind of getting into Volkswagen Tiguan or new model Santa Fe type money for a well-specced new CR-V. They're decent money. And then you've got the RAV4. So we kind of went back probably just over 12 months to a late 162 to try and find a RAV4 within budget. There were some great ones in main dealers, some with, well, many actually with half leather and nicer steering wheels, better looking wheels. Some were kind of a nice dark grey on the paint and also on the wheels, which they just complemented really well, and they just looked great. So I sent on a couple of links to MZ from RAV4s. I found some Qashqais as well. She was basically doing Dublin commuting all the time, 8 trips a year to Donegal, and she had factored in that in her head already. She'd worked out they were going to go across the border to buy. I said, had you compared prices? And she said yes. And I mean, it does go without saying, you will save approximately, even on something like a Qashqai or a Golf, maybe about €1,000. That's all up to you whether that's worth the hassle. Do you have a trade in? You know, you've got your costs, not so much if you're just going to Belfast or somewhere in the north, you know, but if you're going to the UK, you've got ferry costs and plane costs to get over there, and there's quite a bit of paperwork to be filled in. Yeah, something to factor in. But I think for €25,000, we should definitely be able to get her into at least a new Qashqai, not even 2-year-old RAV4, and probably close to a new Hyundai Tucson as well. But I think for the Honda CR-V, you're going to have to go back quite a few years to maybe a 2015 or even 14, and at that, quite high mileage. So I think we'll leave the Honda CR-V for another day. Another question I got over the last few days is from Carl. If I have PCP and I'm getting towards the end of my 3-year cycle on it, how do I stand with regards, do I have to keep the same brand of car? Can I do I have to go to the same dealership again Or can I go somewhere else? Can I look at a different mix of cars? Yes, you can. You're not tied to any dealership or any brand just because you have PCP with the brand. You have PCP with a financial institution, whether that's a bank, whether it's the manufacturer's own bank, it's still a bank. So if you, for example, have a Golf with Volkswagen Bank, you got a really nice interest rate on it, but you're at the end of your 3 years and you fancy looking at, I don't know, an Opel Astra. You can go into your dealership, your Opel dealership, I've got a trade in, here's the Golf, it's worth 12. Once it's above your guaranteed future value, which is your final balloon payment on your PCP deal, the new car, the Opel Garage, will get their finance company to pay off, Volkswagen Bank, you start again with a new finance package on the new car, and everyone's happy. But people do seem to think quite a bit, actually, that you're tied into the same brand forever. And in some cases, I've had people ask me, do you have to stay in the same dealership? Absolutely not. It's the same principle as if you had traditional HP finance, or you didn't have any finance, or maybe a small bit on the car, or you paid in cash. It's all the same. It doesn't really matter how you're paying for it. The contract you have is with the financial institution, not the dealership. So you're okay there. Other big news that I'm seeing a lot this week is the 182, 181 offers are everywhere. You've got quite a good offer from VW at the moment, actually, which is at up to €2,000 contributions against certain models. Now, you won't get this against a Golf GTI, for example, but you will against a normal standard Golf. They're calling it the 182 Volkswagen Range Open event. It's on now until the 16th of June, so you don't have too much time left for that. They're doing PCP from 0% APR. You will need probably at least 10% deposit on that, something to be aware of. VW Bank are quite strict as well on who they lend to. They're not saying no to many people, but they will ensure you are with your employer quite a while. If you're not, and much savings that you have, they might ask you to put in more than 10% if there's a few factors that they're not too happy with. Also, they're offering technology upgrades and purchase contributions of up to €2,000. So that's just one offer that's up for grabs. You've got scrappage deals in Toyota and Nissan. They do up to €4,000 if you have a banger that you can trade in, and they'll instantly, you know, make that worth €4,000 and give that price to you off a car. Some garages will let you use that €4,000 as part of a PCP deposit, even though it's not physical cash. So I'm not quite sure if that's kind of Celtic Tiger madness again. It's kind of like 110% lending. But anyway, one thing that you can't do is, because I'd say people have probably tried it, you can't go out, buy a car worth €50 and done deal, rock up to your Nissan dealer tomorrow and go, hey, I've got a car that's worth €4,000. The car has to be in your name, in a lot of cases, at least 6 months. So, yeah. But it would be great, wouldn't it? €50 today, €4,000 tomorrow. That's, I mean... I don't think there's a Ferrari out there that would give you that kind of return. But on 182 offers, it's just worth bearing in mind that we're in the last 2 or 3 weeks of June now. You'll have a lot of dealers who will be very keen to register cars to get sales figures up, to keep the manufacturers happy, who basically let them use, you know, their vehicles to be in business. And you may get 181 cars that have little to no mileage, delivery mileage on them. So you might need to wait till 182. Just go into a dealer if you're looking around, see what's up for grabs now, see if there's anyone doing deals. Also, it's the same with any end of month, but this is the end of the first half of 2018. I can't believe it, we're here already. But you may get a deal on a car, particularly something a bit more unusual that they want to shift. They don't want sitting around. They've got to make space for new stock coming in 182 as well. So kind of use that to your advantage if you can, and just see what's up for grabs. One thing to not accept from a dealer is if they say to you, yeah, it is a registered car, but you know, there's only 8 kilometers on the clock, it is still a registered car. You're not the first registered owner on it, and you won't be in the logbook. And if they are trying to get the same money for you as a brand new car, well then wait for a brand new car. You might as well get an actual brand new car if they're not going to do anything on the price. But just keep that in mind. And in case you missed my first few podcasts, whatever you do, if you don't need a diesel, don't get a diesel. if you want to flick back through the other podcasts, you'll get some reasons as to why. A bad week this week for Land Rover. So, Land Rover for years and years and years have made the Defender model in the UK. This week they have announced that the Solihull workers will be facing a production move to Slovakia. So there's 10,000 employees based in this plant in the UK who have made the Land Rover Defender. A kind of a Marmite-y Jeep, very popular with construction workers over the last few years. Yummy Mummies as well, there is no doubt. It's one of those cars that is probably a bit over the top for doing the school run, but the middle class suburbs of Dublin, you'll see these everywhere. They've always had the rear license plate off centre, and the current model is very strangely off centre. Now, there's been quite a few people claiming different things about the reasons for this closure of 10,000 up to, well, 10,000 jobs are there. They're not all going to be affected. There's definitely probably 1,800 jobs that could be affected. Some staff are temporary, some are there 30 years. Staff are saying this is not necessarily Brexit, this was coming a long time. The cost of doing business in general, anyway, is too expensive in the UK. But a lot of people today have said this is just the tip of the iceberg with Brexit. It's going to be cheaper to move production elsewhere. And it's kind of sad because not only for the jobs, obviously, but I like the fact that in Britain, even today, they still make cars from, you know, and like decent cars. Nissan Qashqais are, I think it's Sunderland they're constructed in, you know. So the idea that cars are made in Germany and far places like Mexico and then further afield in Japan and stuff, that is obviously the case, but then you've got cars that are made just across the Irish Sea, and I think, you know, it's a great skill to have, and it's a great industry to have in the UK. It'd be brilliant if we had it here, but whether it's Brexit or just the cost of doing business, it's not good for the motor industry. So it'll be strange. We'll see how it plays out. What else is it a good week for? A good week if you're a motorist, in terms of fuel. So Circle K have rebranded. I'm sure you've noticed that. They were Topaz. They're currently rolling out a massive radio and TV campaign where you get to, I suppose, get a couple of seconds listening to the staff who work there, or the same old staff, just different name. And I was going by the Circle K on the Malahide Road today, one of the ones up near Artane, and there was a load of placards with people outside, and I thought, what's the protest about? What's the issue? And what it was they were announcing 10 cent off a litre of fuel right then, there and then. And I, as I drove by, I didn't need juice, so I didn't bother. I was like, will I, won't I? The forecourt was just like budget day when they've announced a massive increase in fuel. It was absolutely jammers. There was cars all over pumps, getting up on the crack of every single pump's dawn. And obviously people are there to make, you know, a bit of a saving. Why not? It's a good way. It was like a pop-up sort of guerrilla style campaign. They weren't making a big song and dance about it, but they were doing it for a limited period. And then it went up the road to another Circle K. It was literally 2 minutes away. They were doing nothing. So I'd say over the next few weeks, keep an eye on your Circle Ks, because I'm sure they'll be doing it more than just one. And 10 cents a litre off a litre of fuel if you're filling up of 50 litres or whatever your car is going to take. That's a nice little saving. So 10 cents a litre off at participating, as they say, Circle K fuel stations. Keep an eye out for it. Merck have been, for a little while, they've been selling the X. Now, what is this? I haven't heard of it. Is it a new model? It's not an E-Class. It's not a C-Class. It's not even an A-Class, it's the X-Class. So it is aimed at, I presume, builders, property developers, farmers to a point. It's a pickup truck, basically, and it's a Merc. It's got a Merc badge on it, and it is, if in decent spec, just a smidgen under €50,000. The cheapest one on CarZone going last time I checked was mid-40s. So a lot of dealers, you've got MSL and Grange, you've got Connolly's and Sligo, where else, Grange, more than Park Motors and Navan Road there have a couple of them, actually. They're probably more than any dealer. And I'd seen one or two of them on the road, but a lady I spoke to who works in Mercedes mentioned the model last week to me. So inside, it's very Mercedes-like inside. You got like a C-Class style steering wheel, or even a CLA style steering wheel. You got it's quite actually like the CLA in parts. A lot of the dials are the same. The center console tablet style screen is there. For your 50 grand, you do get an automatic. It just looks a bit too nice to get all wrecked from builders and mucky boots, and you know, if you're a plasterer or a painter, or it's, yeah, I just don't know who exactly is it aimed at. It's also 50 grand, like, it's a lot of money, but it is a crew cab. You got two rows of seats, fit, I suppose, whatever the legal insurance limit is, it's normally five, but maybe for commercial, you'll get more. They are four wheel drive as well, so handy if you are going to be off road on it or on building sites, stuff like that. Another option, I suppose, if that's the kind of business you're in. Possibly a bit too flash, but a sign of the boom is back if construction workers, and particularly, you know, project managers and developers, are happy enough to rock up in Mercs, because for quite a while during the crash you had guys selling off their bits of flash to get something a bit more I suppose down with everybody else and not stand out like a sore Mickey. So the boom is back with the Merc X-Class, if you want to have a little look at that. What else is floating around this week? As I mentioned, a lot of you are asking about the whole importing a car from the UK. I do have a couple of people in mind. I've spoken to one or two people who are happy to do it. And there's a big difference between getting a dealer to bring in a car from the UK for you versus doing it yourself. If you're going to do it yourself, then there's quite a bit of paperwork involved, and they're the kind of people I want to talk to, because I want to see, was the paperwork worth the hassle? Was it hard to fill out? How did the VRT office go when you were registering? Did that compare to the calculator quote you got on the revenue website? And are there things to watch out for? You know, it's not as simple as booking a Ryanair flight, picking your car up and getting a standalone back to Dublin. There is a bit more involved in that, quite a bit of research. You know, you don't really want to be going to the UK, and you know, if you go out to a dealership here and you quite don't quite find the car you're looking for, you can just hop in and go home. There's always next weekend. You don't really want to waste too many trips going to the UK, so you really have to have done your homework. So on the next episode we will have somebody who has been there, done that, how it worked out for them. I think pretty good, because the last time I spoke to them, they're planning on doing the same again. Also, an interesting thing that has kind of popped up in one or two brands as of late, if there's Irish dealers selling the same cars, you go to the UK and you give an Irish address as you're going to when you're buying a brand new car or whatever car. Like, you're giving a substantial amount of cash, they're going to want bank accounts and all that stuff. It has happened where you give an Irish address and the UK dealer has done a deal with the Irish equivalent. Back to Mercedes, they were one brand who were definitely doing this, and they would say, I can't sell you a car, which to me is like anti-European, anti-everything. You can't have, you know, the same way like fixed pricing, you can't have a cartel amongst dealers where it's a closed shop, and you know, if you want to buy a car, you should be allowed to buy a car. So that has happened. Has that happened a lot? We'll find out when we talk to a few different people about their experience of bringing a car in from the UK. But yes, people have been asking, so we will cover that. Finally, just if you are in the market for the typical Golf, Focus, Astra style market, one car I'd urge you to just have a little look at is the new, well, it's kind of a year on the road at this stage, the Honda Civic. I was driving one last year for about a week from Honda Ireland, and I was driving a three cylinder version of the Civic. I'm sure you've seen them at this stage, because, you know, like I said, they're around a bit. They're not 10 a penny on the road, something I kind of like about them. You do need to get the right colour in it, because there's a lot of plastic on the back. Not quite sure what the story is with all the plastic, but it looks particularly good in black and grey. There's a lovely fire engine red. It does show off that plastic. It's kind of like a Type R style colour. There is a Type R, by the way. It's about €50,000. It's 300 brake horsepower, more than your Golf GTI, same as your Golf Type R, probably a bit cheaper than the Golf Type R. and in certain circles cooler, because it's a bit more pure, it's a bit more raw, it's certainly more aggressive looking. It's Golf Or, I'd say 9 out of 10 people would just think it's a 1.4, where it's absolutely not, but just worth a look. You know, there's loads of different engine ranges in the Honda Civic. They're also, you know, as I said, they're a bit more exclusive, a bit more rare. You don't see them on the roads all the time. One thing that was really impressive with them is Honda have really kind of set the bar in that segment in terms of autonomous driving. So whether you've got lane departure, and where the car will actually steer, and will warn you first of all if you're going to change lanes, the car will steer between the lines, something that you're probably only familiar with the likes of Tesla. Every road I was driving around Dublin had the speed limit of that road logged in the car. So as soon as you're on the road, the speed in kilometres would come up on the dashboard, just to remind you, you know, just to look after your license. It had collision avoidance, where if you were getting too close to a car in front, the car would go bananas and you'd be reminded. If you get the automatic version, it will keep up not just on motorways but in stop-start traffic. You will literally only have to steer the car in Dublin city centre, you know, which is, that's pretty cool. Everything else will be done for you, from braking, from taking off, accelerating, the whole lot. So there's quite a few standard features, and you know, again, the Honda Civic is not the most expensive car in the world, an iconic car, there is no doubt. I mean, over the years it suffered from stereotypes that, you know, probably attracted the attention of a certain type of not nice boys, shall we say. But I think the new model doesn't exactly have that same reputation. Same with the last model Civic, that didn't have the reputation of kind of being for scrolls either. So give it a look. You know, the new Honda Civic is definitely worth having a little look at. There was a lot of standard features in it. A great little gear shifter, gear knob on it, which I always associate with kind of MG Roadsters and Mazda MX-5s, but it had one of those really short shift gear changes. What else was in it? There was standard leather seats, there was glass sunroofs. It was an awful lot of car for the money. And again, in that Golf Focus segment, that, you know, if you just want to be a little bit different, if you're someone who likes to be a little bit unusual, maybe you don't take your coffee the same as everybody else, well then have a look at the Honda Civic. I don't think you'll be too disappointed. You know, it's not going to have the general kudos maybe of something like a Golf, but just like just about everybody kind of will be like, oh yeah, Golf's nice. Civic, particularly this design, is probably a bit more, I suppose, I wouldn't say an acquired taste, because it's a good looking car, like it's, but just, yeah, it's not the most obvious of choices for people. But tell me this, when was the last time you saw a Honda Civic broken down at the side of the road? I'd say the answer is never. So another thing to bear in mind in terms of reliability, if you want to bear that. Another, just finally before I go, my observation of the week was the Skoda Kodiaq, the new Jeep, the new SUV, new crossover, whatever you want to call it. It's based on the Audi Q7. So you're getting a lot of car on a very nice chassis, if nothing else. Now, a lot of people commented on the photograph of it, and you can see it on my Instagram and my Twitter if you want. Very like the Range Rover at the front. Quite like the Q7 from the side. The version I saw was a Scout version, okay? Nothing to do with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or Girl Guides, anything like that. It's just, I don't know, like, it's no reference in terms of being off-road or going camping or putting a tent in the boot. I don't know why it's called a Scout. Anyway, it does have all the spec. So it's the first one I'd seen that the wheels looked savage. It had silver wing mirrors in the style of the Audi RS models or the S models. And it just looked really, really good. As soon as I went home, I checked out the price for it. I thought, how much would that cost? So the Skoda Kodiaq, there's many of them that begin from sort of low to mid-30s for a fairly entry-level model. But the Scout model, that really does, I mean, this looks good. This, like, seriously, don't judge it on being a Skoda. Have a look at it. It looks good. It's $49,995. Last time I checked, there was a 6-month waiting list for these Skodas. So you want to be getting in your order now, particularly with the rumours that Skoda might be one of those factories that will be just sitting and waiting and seeing what happens with the emissions. So look, that's all we've got time for in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you do, really do appreciate it, seriously. Take nothing for granted in this business, and just because you're doing the other serious radio stuff all the time doesn't mean that people are going to listen to this, so we really do appreciate it. If you want to subscribe on iTunes or any of the other platforms I mentioned, please do, and we shall be back very, very soon with that UK import special. Thanks for listening to Nobby on Cars.